Well, Rob Gronkowski made a large fortune catching footballs that were thrown by Tom Brady. And he made a small fortune by making Tide commercials. But then a problem developed. Kids began to eat these Tide Pods because they kind of look like candy and they're pretty and they have all these swirly colors. And then, I believe it was probably teenagers, began to challenge each other to eat them. Because when you put them in the mouth, they have this moisture-sensitive membrane that disintegrates and then kind of blows up. And that was supposedly cool or exciting. But what actually happened was it brought a lot of pain because there's a whole lot of chemicals in those things, and they would cause severe burns to the mouth, esophagus, respiratory tract, and everywhere else they probably went. And a lot of people died, in fact. Well, thus Tide and Gronk, they put out a public service announcement explaining what Tide Pods are for and what not to do with them. Let's take a look.
No, 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 no. No, no, no. No? What the heck is going on, people? Use Tide Pods for washing, not eating. Do not eat.
Well, you would think that would be kind of obvious, but I have a question. Is the Tide Corporation and is Gronk trying to spoil people's fun? Are they trying to ruin their lives and take away all the exciting experiences? No. They're trying to save them and get people to use Tide Pods according to the manufacturer's directions, which is make clothes clean. Well, what's that have to do with anything? Well, everything, I'll say. The Tide Pod makers know what is best for people when it comes to what to do with them, because they made them for a specific purpose. Well, God made us for a specific purpose. He's our manufacturer, He's our creator, and He knows what is going to be best for us. If you ingest Tide Pods, you can die. And if you ingest evil, you also will die. And God in His love wants what's best for people. He said in the second half of Romans 16, 19, I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. One translation said, be excellent at what is good and innocent about what is evil. I like that. Be excellent at what is good. What's excellent mean? Well, I think Philippians 4 gives us a great definition. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. To be excellent means to be whatever you're doing or saying or thinking to be pleasing to God. We want to do this for the right reason to please God, but we're also going to see that that actually is what is best for us as well. And to be able to do so, it's not just we have to work it up. Oh, I got to do good today. No, we can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives to help us. Well, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And God's word tells us to be excellent at these. They are to be our specialty. Let's look at this verse a little bit more. It says, be innocent of evil, excellent at good, innocent of evil. What is evil? Well, there's one definition in a dictionary Bible terms. The presence of corruption, malevolence, depravity in the world opposed to God's nature and will. Scripture stresses evil as a force in its own right. Another definition is any act or event that is contrary to the good and holy purposes of God. My definition, which isn't quite so fancy, it says, whatever takes you away from God and down a bad road. There's a lot of evil out there, a lot of ways, shapes, and forms. It's not only within us. Scripture talks about that. The heart is desperately wicked, but it's also out there. You know, innocence is interesting because it gets kind of a bad rap these days. When I was in high school, to be innocent was to be considered gullible or uncool. Right now, our culture seems very much bent on destroying innocence in everything. Well, I remember hearing people, especially when I was younger, I only learn by experience. Well, I want to tell you, that makes sense if you want to learn how to tie knots. You know, show me how, or give me a book, and then give me some ropes, and kind of help me twist them around. And if I don't actually do it, I probably won't learn. It's the same with driving. We have a new driver in our home, and he's doing awesome. I'll give you a call. I'll send a group text so you know where to go when he's coming. Never mind. But you know what? He's got to study, he's got to practice, he's got to work at it, and then he's doing great. Well, you know, experience is good when it comes to knots or driving, but it's stupid when it comes to experimenting with sex and drugs and all kinds of other things. You can learn by experience that catching a sexually transmitted disease is no fun, or you can read up and learn and go, you know what? I think I'm going to avoid that path. I remember guys, I was smart in high school until I fried my brain on drugs in junior high, you know, or whatever. Or now I know what it's like to catch a nasty disease from somebody. You know, that just doesn't make any sense. That's not being excellent at what is good or innocent of what is not. You know, innocence is not just burying your head in the sand, but it is enjoying life as God made it and staying away from that which is really going to hurt you. Tide Pods, those look cool. No bad idea. No. Don't do that. Why? God knows what's best for you. You know, I admit that evil is tempting at times. We're curious people, and there's trippy stuff out there sometimes. Years ago, I was reading a book on the Old West, and I have the whole Time Life series, and they're very interesting. And I'd always heard, of course, about people being scalped. Well, I knew you kind of took a knife to someone's scalp, and you pulled the hair and skin off, and used it as a trophy to prove you'd killed somebody or something like that, but I didn't know really what it looked like. Well, I was reading this book, and I come to the caption, and it says, "Soldiers, check out the body of a scalped traitor." Well, I turned the page to look at it, and I went, "Oh, that's not really what I wanted to see." I was no longer innocent of what it looks like to see a scalped individual. I have to admit, it's kind of cool, kind of creepy, kind of, you don't really need to know what that looks like, if you know what I'm saying. But I'm really glad it was only in black and white. But I had an idea, and then my imagination was drawn in. You know, I can clearly say I'm not a better person because I've seen that picture. There's worse things to look at, yes, but there certainly are more excellent things to look at as well. I was not being innocent of evil then. Now, I'm going to encourage you, do not go home and Google scalp people. I'm sure they tell you how. I didn't look. Don't you look there. But what's your temptation? What are you curious about that maybe leads you away from innocence and to evil? What might you need to change in your surroundings? Do you have some friends you might need to stay away from? Places to change? Habits to avoid? How instead can you begin to specialize in excellence? You know, maybe watching porn's not your thing, but maybe you watch the news and then it really works you up and you get really ticked. So having watched that, you're not in a good place either. It's easy to get drawn in. Well, about 20 years ago, I preached a short series on see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. I was mostly talking to teenagers at a little Chinese church in Vancouver. And it made me think of the monkey statue that you used to be able to see. Maybe you still have one, I don't know. But this is a really important topic. But when I preached it all those years ago, I really stressed, don't do evil because God doesn't like it. Well, that is true. God is holy. He can't have anything to do with evil or that which is unclean. But there's more to it than just simply thou shalt not see, hear, or speak evil. The reason evil's not good for people is because God is into human flourishing. He's into what is best for those that he's made in his image. We're told God is love, and he also shows us what love is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. He's not out to spoil our fun. He knows what's best for us. He knows we were designed more to eat filet mignon wrapped with bacon than Tide Pods. He knows that if you drink battery acid, the result will not be good. Even if somebody on YouTube goes, cool, dude, not a good idea. God knows that evil is packaged colorfully and attractive. It kind of can suck you in, but it will have a bad result. God knows if you go looking for a happy meal in an outhouse, even if it looks good, it's not going to be good for you. He wants us not to revel in which is harmful, but which is pleasing to him and ultimately good for us. If we lose our innocence about evil like Adam and Eve did, we're heading for major problems. Again, it starts out sweet, but it doesn't end up well. So, of course, long introduction, we're going to talk about see no evil today. And the fact is, our eyes are amazing creations of God. We can see sunsets. We can look into the eyes of loved ones. We can walk around safely. We can do productive things. And some of you see well. Some of you used to see well. But all of us can be thankful for our eyes. They're amazing. Well, God made eyes, and he knew what he was doing way back in the garden. In the Bible, it kind of says God has eyes in a metaphorical sense. God looked at the creation and saw all he had made, and it was very good. Well, God also watches us, in a sense, with his eyes. The Lord doesn't look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. And God gave us our eyes, and they're amazing. We're told by the psalmist, you created my inmost being. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, included in that good creation, we read in Proverbs 20:12, eyes and ears that see, the Lord has made them all. The eyes are incredible. They're well constructed. They're complex. Yeah, there's cool spy cameras that can read what's on a penny from 40 miles in the sky, but they're not necessarily self-cleaning, have perfect pressure, instant focus, zoom lenses, wide-angle viewing, adaptable to any lighting conditions, have 100 million plus rod cells, and capture images perfectly, like Adam and Eve's eyes did. But God made our eyes good, and he wants us to use them for good. Some of the things he wants us to do is to see his handiwork. We're told in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Go outside, look up and go, whoa, Lord, what I can see with my eyes you made, and that's amazing. We're told in Romans 1, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what's been made, so men without excuse. I've seen a lot of things with my eyes as I've traveled the world and all 50 states, and God's creation is incredible. But imagine what the Israelites got to see. They got to see the plagues on Egypt. They got to be led by fire and cloud. They got to see the Red Sea part. Jericho's walls fall down. The ground swallowed up. Then miracles that Jesus did that confirmed he was God. And Jesus appearing to his disciples. Thomas seeing nail marks in his hands. Jesus rising to heaven. Eyes to see what God has done. That's incredible. He also gave us eyes to read his word. How could a young or old man or woman keep their way pure, living according to your word? Well, it's hard if you don't read it, though wonderfully now you can listen to God's word, and that's amazing too. And I encourage you to do that. Psalmist said, I've hidden your word in my heart. I might not sin against you. We also have eyes so we can see the needs of others. Let's consider how we may spur one another on to loving good deeds. If you hide in a hole in your backyard, you're not going to see what's going on for others, so you can't come alongside and help them. Well, we're also told in Habakkuk, God's eyes are too pure to look on evil. But unfortunately, the same thing can't be said about people. You know, think about it. God created Adam and Eve. He placed them in a beautiful garden, wonderful things to see, enjoy, and God just said, don't do this. So what'd they do? Well, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took and she ate it. And she gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both were open. They saw with their physical eyes. That led to a problem. Then their metaphorical eyes were open, and they were aware of good and evil. That would have been better had they been born blind and deaf. But ever since that time, many people have gotten in trouble, especially Bible people. Noah got drunk and naked, and Ham gawked at him, his son. Bad move. Abraham saw that his wife was beautiful. That's not a problem. But when he lied and said, this is my sister, and that was almost a big problem. Lot saw good land and moved too close to it. Then Lot's wife looked back, and that was the end of her. Jacob and his mom took advantage of their father Jacob's bad eyes and lied, and there were spies that sent into the promised land, and they said, we saw people of great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. They're huge. We can't do it. Samson was checking out girls. I have seen a Philistine girl. Get her for me, he told his mother. Bad move. David should have been out fighting. Instead, he's looking and goes, oh, Bathsheba. Bad move as well. Bible people make bad decisions with their eyes, so do we. The Bible talks about how there's greedy eyes, there's lustful eyes, haughty eyes, tempting eyes, eyes that ignore the poor. There's foolish eyes. You can use your eyes for lots of things. You can watch filthy TV programs or movies. You can go to questionable plays or art galleries or girly bars or porn places. You can read contents with different kinds of things. You can also go shopping and suddenly feel discontent. You go down to the Ford dealer and you kick the tires and you're like, my Pinto is not so nice after all. Or you can look at others and be judgmental. I can't believe she's wearing that. Well, how do you use your eyes for evil? Well, I sometimes struggle. There's movies I want to see, and so what I have to do is I have to get online and read reviews. Oh, okay, well, this got these bad words, and this scene with not enough clothes, maybe I better avoid that one. I don't go seeking girls online, but they go seeking me. I'm looking at the news or how are the Seahawks doing, and I didn't need to see that. And then I have a choice to make. There's some billboards that are not nice. I remember coming across my boss's desk once, and there was a bunch of memos, or his email was open. I'm like, ooh, part of me wanted to check out what's going on. I don't remember what I did. I hope I didn't look at it, but I might have. I don't know. Going to REI, that's not a good place. I'm like, ooh, there's the latest, greatest thing that's lighter, better. Oh, I really want. My eyes can lead me in problems with there. Why are eyes a problem? We're told in Luke, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But when they are bad, your body's full of darkness. And why is that? Well, it's because God's creation in some ways has gone bad because of sin. Actually, in lots of ways. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, come not from the Father, but from the world. We also have an enemy, the enemy of our souls. We're told, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. We also make bad choices. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. Sinful mind's hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. It seems like the deck is stacked against us. So how can we use our eyes for good instead of evil? Well, I got an idea. You can just poke them out. Isn't that what Jesus said? If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Anybody want to? No? No volunteers? But if it's better for you to enter heaven, the kingdom of God, with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, you know, that's not what Jesus means. But he is saying that anything that gets in the way of your relationship with God, take direct, decisive action against. Whatever tempts you towards sin, get rid of it. You know, if you have a limb with gangrene, and I can tell by the smell none of you do, get rid of it. Otherwise, you will die. Do that the same with whatever's getting in the way of your eyes, deal with. Paul told Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul told Timothy, flee. He was a young guy with active hormones. You might be an old guy with active hormones. Either way, flee. You may not be able to flee as fast as before, but that's okay. You may just have to hit the off button. So what are some practical suggestions? Ask God for help every day. Run to him. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're safe, says the Proverbs. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, turn my eyes away from evil things. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you, says the proverb writer. Psalm 141, but my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord, and in you I take refuge. I have found that when I am seeking God, you can't really seek God and see evil at the same time real well. That tends to help a lot. Keep looking to God's word and capture your thoughts. Martin Luther had an interesting statement. He said, you can't avoid the birds landing in your hair, but you can stop them from building the nest. Amen. So it's that second glance that gets us. Dr. Joe Aldrich from Multnomah, where I attended, was a very godly man, but he was still a man. When he'd see a beautiful woman, he'd had to capture his thoughts. And so what he would do is he would pray. I remember him kind of leaning over the pulpit telling us, this is my prayer, Lord, thanks for that beauty. Now protect that beauty. May I not have lustful thoughts over her, and may no one else either. He didn't deny that God had done good work. That was a fact. But he said, I don't want to be a part of the problem. Protect that beauty. He wished the best on that lady. Again, it's hard to praise God and practice evil at the same time. Do you remember the comic strip Kathy? Hasn't been around for a while, but she was always struggling with something. Usually work, her love life, or her diet. But she did not keep her thoughts in check. So there was a cartoon once, and frame one, she's saying to herself, I will take a drive, but not go near the grocery store. Then the next frame, I will drive by the grocery store, but not go in. I will go to the grocery store, but not walk down the aisle where the Easter candy is on sale. I will look at the candy, but not pick it up. I will pick it up, but not buy it. I will buy it, but not open it. I will open it, but not smell it. Smell it, but not taste it. Taste it, but not eat it. Eat, 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 eat. isn't that with us? Oh, the Lord has told us, 1 Corinthians, no temptation's taken you, but such as is common to man. But he won't let you be tempted beyond but what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll provide a way to escape. Kathy shouldn't have gotten in the car to go to the grocery store, and neither should we. When we get in the car, that leads to problems. You know, it could be, maybe you know there's a certain news site that more than likely is going to pop something up. Don't go there, gentlemen, especially. Sometimes you can't help it. But when those things do pop up, what do? You can say, whoa, I want to find out what happened. Or we can say, Lord, I love you. I don't want this to control my thoughts. I want to seek and please you. I'm not going to go there. I think I might want to go take the dog for a walk now. You know, but we've got to capture our thoughts quickly. Maybe you have to vow like the psalmist. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. Or maybe you need to do like Job did. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Maybe you need to get an internet filter on your computer. I subscribe to something called Covenant Eyes. I think I spend $15 a month on it, but it sends a copy of every website I've looked at to my wife. Well, guess what? That's kept me out of trouble a lot of times. You know, $15 a month, it's like, yeah, it's kind of a lot, but guess what? If it saved my marriage, my relationship with God, my ministry, and not been destroying myself, I'd say it'd be worth $1,500 a month. And perhaps here's a hard one for you. Only shop when you need something. So I probably shouldn't go to REI just to poke around and see what the latest, greatest, new, cool things are. And maybe that's the Maserati dealer in your case. I don't know. But, you know, I have discovered screwdrivers are really handy for lots of things. You can chisel things. You can reach things. You can open cans. You can pry things, poke holes. You can even conduct electricity through them, depending on where you put them. But guess what? That's not what screwdrivers were made for. They're meant to screw things in and unscrew things. And to do the wrong thing with the screwdriver will damage it, and probably you too. I'm sure there's a study in how many screwdriver injuries take place every year in hospitals in America. Kenny's got a story after coffee talk about his screwdriver incident. Anyway, you know, just like you can dumpster dive behind McDonald's all the time, occasionally you might score a big find. Oh, a whole bag full of old, cold Filet-O-Fish sandwiches, yeah. But you know what? That's probably not going to be good for you eventually. You know, we can use our eyes in the same way. There's all things, kind of things we can do with our eyes, but it's not necessarily always helpful. Seeing evil sometimes seems harmless, innocent, fun to play with, but it's always deadly. There's a story of a Mexican man who had loaded a bunch of scrap metal up in southern Arizona junk pile and in his beat-up truck, and he was all excited because he thought, man, I'm going to get home, I'm going to be sell this, and it's going to be great. Well, it turned out he'd picked up an antique x-ray machine, so the story goes, and all these little steel balls began to come out of the machine and roll on the rib bed of the truck, and these little radioactive marbles bounced along in the back of the truck, and some of them spilled along the highway, and after he'd sold the metal, his kids found these little balls and they began to play with them and shoot marbles. And pretty soon, all the kids were loving them. Those were the hot items to have. But then many of the kids, those same kids, began to complain of similar symptoms, red rash, fatigue, loss of hair, vomiting. It took a long time to figure out what was going on, including some deaths in the village. Turned out they had some radiation poisoning happening. Those pretty little balls that were held and traded and treasured turned out to be delightful and deadly. That's what evil does to a person. It delights and then it destroys. Ah, we've all faced that. It looks good, but it sure doesn't taste good in the end. We're still early into 2023. There's time to do life differently. Regardless of how we've lived the last 6 weeks, we can have another 46 that are great. I want to encourage you, strive to be excellent at what is good and innocent of evil. Believe God when he says, evil's not good for you. No, for a good reason. He knows what he's talking about. The choice is ours, but God can help us. It's his specialty. I want to encourage you to, in a sense, make that your theme. You know, maybe you went to one of the dances in high school, and they often had different themes. Oh, it's going to be Hawaiian. It's all the girls would get excited and get tiki torches, and they'd have luau and have little punch with umbrellas and pineapples and stuff, and choose little songs about surfing and whatever. And that would be a lot of fun. It would be great. And I remember living in a house that had shag carpet and avocado appliances and all kinds of other funky things. And we decided to have a 70s party, and it was a blast. You know, we had Barry Manilow and then ABBA and then heavy metal music. And we had Ritz crackers with Cheese Whiz on the top, you know, and maybe Jell-O, I don't know. It was great. Well, I also remember seeing a kid at Multnomah Bible College that always wore 50s clothes. He always had his jeans rolled up. He had a shirt that looked like the Fonz's. His hair was slicked back. And one day I couldn't resist. And I asked him, is it 50s day? And he looked straight at me and he said, every day is 50s day. I want to encourage you, make every day excellence day when it comes to what you see. You don't have to experience the pain of eating a Tide Pod kind of experience. Instead, I want to encourage you, taste and see the Lord is good. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. Lord, help us to use our eyes for good. We need your help. We need encouragement from our brothers and sisters to help us to use them right. We need your Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, there's a lot of things we can't unsee, but God, by your grace and mercy, we can see what is excellent from here on out, I pray. You would help us. For those who are struggling, maybe they've got addiction to things they're seeing, I pray that they would not be afraid to admit that to you and to others. And we can come and we can love and we can help. Lord, we all have things we struggle with. So it's not just they're bad and we're not. It's all of us need you and we need one another. So I pray that you would comfort and encourage and challenge folks. Help us, Lord, to be excellent at what is good and innocent at what is evil because of your help and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.